Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Tainis Daf Chav Dalet. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Isaac Shaiwitz. All of the Nishamas we learned from should have an Aliyah. We begin on the very last line of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph with another great story. Now, this story is going to be a lot more difficult to understand when we're discussing some of the stories of Rav Yossi ben Yukras. So, let's begin. We start off with Rav Yossi bar Oven, Havishochiach Kamei de Rav Yossi de Min Yukras. Rav Yossi bar Oven was a Talmud, a regular student in the Shia of Rav Yossi ben Yukras. And Shavke, he left that Shia, he left Rav Yossi de Min Yukras, also came to Rav Ashi, and instead went to learn by Rav Ashi, returned to Chavdal Rav Aleph. One day, Yom Achad, Shame de Kogoris, Rav Ashi heard that Rav Yossi bar Oven was learning the following memory from Shmuel. And he said, Omer Shmuel had said, Hashola dog min hayom, b'Shabbos. If a person is catching fish on Shabbos, he takes out a fish, which the Mepharshim explained was already trapped before Shabbos, so we're not dealing here with a Isser of Tzedah, of trapping on Shabbos, he was just dealing with the Isser of killing an animal on Shabbos, Chavolo, you're not allowed to go and do that, and therefore this Isser is only talking about the killing of the fish on Shabbos, the Isser of Tzedah is not being discussed over here. That's the way the Mepharshim understand this. So, Kivan Shiyovesh Bo Kisela Chayev. As soon as the fish dries out to the size of a sela, a certain type of coin, well known to them, what that side was, so when the fish dries up that much, that fish is basically irrevocably going to die, and therefore you are now over the issue of killing the fish on Shabbos. Chayiv, at that point, you'd be chayiv a karma chatas if you did this by accident. So Amalei, Rav Yossi bar Oven said to him, Rebbe, Vilema Mar, why didn't Rebbe Rav Ashi say, Ubein Snapirav, that this drying out is specifically only if it's between the Snapirin are the fins of the fish. If the drying out is elsewhere, the fish could still survive, and therefore it's not considered yet that you've killed the fish. Rav Ashi says back to Mamalei, wait a second, why are you telling me to say that? Why didn't you mention it in the name of the one who said it? Velo Sovel Omar, didn't you? He calls him now Master because he sees his big Talmud Chacham. Dahid, the Rav Yossi, ben Rav Ovin, Amora. Why didn't you say this over the name of the great Amora who said it yourself? But he didn't know that it was Rabbi Yossi bar Oven. So he said, this is a famous member that Rabbi Yossi bar Oven, by Rabbi Oven had said, so why are you not saying it over his name? So I'm Malay. So Rabbi Yossi bar Oven says, I'm not you. That's me. That's why I didn't say it over in my name, because I'm the one that said it. So I'm Malay. Rabbi says, wait a second. You're not normally in my base medrash. V'lav kamed Rav Yossi demin yukras havishriach bar. But aren't you? Again, he calls him now a title of master. He sees that he's a big Talmud Chacham. And he's a humble person as well. V'lav kamed Rav Yossi demin yukras. Weren't you a regular student in the base medrash of Rav Yossi demin yukras? What are you doing over here in my base medrash now? So I'm a lay. So Rav Yossi bar Oven responds to him, yeah, I used to be a regular Talmud over there. And Rav Ashi says, so why'd you leave? I'm like, well, my time of Shavke Mar, why did you leave that master, Vosahoch, and come to learn by me? So I'm like, so Rav Yossi bar Oven says, Gavra, a Rebbe, a man, the Al-Berei, the Al-Berate, Lo-Chos, Alai Didi, Hechi Chayis. He says, such a person, Rav Yossi ben Dimin Yukris, was such a Midas Hadin person. He was a very, very strict applier of every law. He lived by the Midas Hadin. So it's going to be very hard to understand the next two stories of Yossi Demin Yukras, but he was obviously a great, great individual who was a Baal Mofes, and he was very, very strict in his interpretation of the law. He went by the Midas Hadin. He didn't rely upon the Midas Harachamim, according to many, and therefore, Rav Yossi bar Oven said to Rav Ashi, I had to leave it because he's a person, he's so strict, he doesn't even have mercy on his own son and his own daughter, as the upcoming stories are going to tell us. Lo chos on them, so alai didi, on me, hechi chayis, how is he going to be merciful on me? And therefore, I can't take the chance of being in his presence because I'll do something wrong and he's going to say that the midas adin should apply to me rather than the midas harachamim. Now, what are these two stories about the son and the daughter of the Bray and the Brate of Rav Yossi Demin Yukras that we're now going to tell. So Bray, his son, Mahi, what was that story? So Yom Echad, one day, Havu Agre Le Agiri B'Dabra. Rav Yossi Demin Yukras had hired certain workers to work for him out in the Dabra, in the field. Noga Luhu, the sun was setting, below Aise Luhu Rifta, and he hadn't yet brought to them their food. Now, Amulei Le Bray, these workers said to the son of Rav Yossi Demin Yukras, Kafinan, it's a famine, we're hungry. So what did he do? Havayasve tusei teinosa. They were all underneath a fig tree. They were sitting there waiting for the supper to be brought, but Rav Yossi ben Yukris was late in coming. So the son of Rav Yossi ben Yukris said to the Taina, he was obviously a great tzaddik himself, that he was able to create such a miracle, and he said, Taina, you fig tree, hotzi peirosayich, give forth all of your fruit, the yochlu poliyaba, so that my father's workers are able to go and eat now. And amazingly, the miracle occurred, afiko, the fruit suddenly matured and came forth, and suddenly there was a lot of fruits, yochlu, and the workers were able to eat fruits. They were able to eat the dates. Meanwhile, as they're eating the dates, along comes Rav Yossi the Minyukris. Also, the father of this son of Rav Yossi the Minyukris, Yossi the Minyukris, comes, and Amalu, he said to them, hey, lo tiknatu b'tataychu, please don't be upset at me for coming late, because I was doing a mitzvah. Dahai denogahana a mitzvah terchana. The reason I'm coming a little bit late now, when the sun is setting, is because I was involved in doing a tremendous mitzvah. V'ad hashta, until now, hu disagoy. I was involved in it until right now. Baruch Hashem now is able to come, and I'm very sorry for being late. So our lady said to him, no problem, don't worry about it. Rachmana lizbo'och, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should satisfy you, should take care of you, just the same way, just like your son took care of us. Your son satisfied us. He made the fruit tree bring forth figs, and therefore, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should bless you the same way that everything of yours should be blessed. Now, Rav Yosef, the Ben Yerkus, is not happy about this. He said, wait a second, how did my son give you food? He didn't have any food. Mehecha, where did my son give you food? So he told them, Amru v'hachi v'hachi, have a maisa. They told him the maisa, that the son had said this tefillah, and the fig tree suddenly matured all the figs, and they were able to eat the figs. Rav Yosef ibn Yukris is not happy. Amalo, Rav Yosef ibn Yukris said to his son, you shouldn't have done this. Bini, my son, ato hitrachta es koncha, you troubled HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lahotzi te'ena peirosel, shalom bismana, to make this te'ena tree, to make this fig tree give forth its fruits, not when it was the right time. You made it mature much more rapidly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take that similar midah keneged midah to Yosef, shalom bismana. You should be taken back by HaKadosh Baruch Hu before your days are supposed to be over. Again, a very harsh midas hadin. The Marsha says, Rav Yossi de Ben Yukras was wrong. Straight out, he said, Rav Yossi ben Yukris was incorrect in saying this, that his son had done nothing terribly wrong. Okay, if he wanted to tell his son, listen, don't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make miracles in a situation like this, okay, he could have told him. But to have said to him that Yosef shalom bismano, that you should die young, that is an incorrect approach. And Marsha says straight out that Rav Yossi ben Yukris was incorrect. Again, who are we to even say anything about Rav Yossi ben Yukris? He was obviously an unbelievably great Tana. We're going to see a story about how great he was in a moment. But again, very difficult to understand this story. Now, what was the story with the daughter? That's even going to be more upsetting. Birate, what was the story with his daughter? Maihi, what was that? So, Havile Birata Balas Yofi had a beautiful, beautiful daughter. Yomachad, one day, Yomachad, Chazya Lahau Gabra, a certain man was wanting to look at Rav Yossi the Ben Yukris, his daughter, because she was so beautiful. And what he did was to have a karya behutza the kochazila. He had a fence surrounding his house and his property, and this person made some sort of a hole, have a karya behutza, he made a hole in the wall, and the kochazila, and was trying to get a peek at Rav Yossi the Ben Yukris, his beautiful daughter. So Rav Yossi the Ben Yukris sees it. He says, oh no, my Rav Yossi the Ben Yukris says, so what are you doing? So he said, Amalei, Rabbi. He said to Rav Yossi the Ben Yukris, if I'm not zocher to marry her, at least let me take a peek, let me take a look at her. So Amalot, instead of Rav Yossi the Ben Yukris getting very, very upset at this person for what he did, which maybe he did, maybe he didn't, the Gemara doesn't say. So he somehow gets upset at his daughter. Biti, my daughter, you're so beautiful, you're causing people tsaris, you're causing people pain and suffering that they can't marry you, that they can't look at you. Shuvi li'afarech. Go return to the dust. The al yikashlu bich b'nei adam. And don't let people sin on account of you, that they should stumble and have hirhurim and rachman al-san do incorrect things because of your beauty. And the Bach adds the words, the kain havya. And that, in fact, is what happened. The Yossi ben Yukris' daughter was taken back to Shemayim. Again, the Marsha says the Yossi ben Yukris was wrong. He was too harsh. He lived by the Midas Hadin. And this daughter had done nothing whatsoever wrong. It wasn't in any way her responsibility. And yet, if you're the cause of somehow something happening to somebody else, in the Midas Hadin, you could be held accountable. We live by the Midas HaRachamim. And unfortunately, Yosef Din Yukwas lived by the Midas Hadin, and therefore he said this very, very harsh decree upon his daughter, and Kachavya. Very difficult for us to understand. The Ben Yehuda asked a very interesting question. Why didn't he just say, okay, my daughter should be a little bit ugly. Let her turn a little bit ugly. So again, in exact accord with what he said, he was very upset at his son for changing around the Teva. So for him to make his daughter not be beautiful, to make her, you know, a little bit less beautiful, a little bit more plain and average, would have been changing the Teva. And just like he told his son, you were incorrect in changing the Teva, but making the fig tree mature the figs much faster, he felt it was incorrect for him to also to be involved in the Teva. To die is also being involved in the Teva. No, everybody's going to die. And therefore, this wasn't changing the Teva and his understanding based upon his reasoning. Again, we leave this story with a tzarech iyun. But don't think for a second that Yossi de Minyukris was not a great person. Havile hao chama, Yossi de Minyukris had a donkey. Kidahavu ogre le kol yoma, when he would rent it out every day, laurta at night, when he would get it back, havu mishadri lo agra agaba. The people would go and pay him for the donkey by just putting the money on the donkey's back. Also, and it returned home to Rav Yossi de Ben Yukras. Now, the E Tafu law, if they gave too much money, or Obatsu law, if they gave too little money, lo asya, the donkey wouldn't budge, it wouldn't move until they paid the right amount. Yom Echad, one day, Inshu Zugo de Sandli Allah, somebody by accident left some of their shoes on it. They had a pair of shoes that they put on the donkey, and they forgot them there. And the donkey wouldn't move, lo Ozla ad de Shaklanua mina, until I took the shoes off, the donkey would move. It would be Geneva, and the donkey wouldn't be a part of it. And only after they took the shoes off, the harder Oslo would it go home. So obviously, Yossi the Ben Yukwas was an unbelievably great tzaddik, but functioning and living on a level of Midas Hadin that we cannot understand or comprehend. Next story. Elazar Ish Birta. That's the girsa that we have. Elazar Ish Birta. There are other girsas over here, which we'll speak about in a moment. But let's assume that this was Elazar Ish Birta. So according to this, he was an Amora who lived at a later point in time. However, many suggest that he was the Tana, Elazar Ish Bartusa, who's mentioned in Pirkei Avos. And that would help explain some of the story if you say that this is the Tana who lived actually before a decree that was described in the Gemara in Ksubos, when the Chazal in Usha had declared that a person shouldn't give away too much of his money to tzedakah, so he shouldn't become poor and rely upon the tzibur. Because this story is going to see that Elazar Ish Birto, or Elazar Ish Bartusa, was in fact a huge baal tzedakah. So let's go to the story. Just the background is that he was such a big baal tzedakah that he would give away everything he had, so that tzedakah collectors in the first and probably only time in history would run away from him. Right, tzedakah collectors look to go to the gevira, look to go to the people that give tzedakah. And here, even the tzedakah collectors said, hey, he's giving too much tzedakah, we can't take from him. So when the tzedakah collectors would see him, kad havu chozu le gabai tzedakah, havu toshmine, when the gabai's collecting tzedakah, when the people were collecting tzedakah for poor people, for whatever needs they were collecting for, and they saw this person, Elazar Ish Birto, Elazar Ish Bartusa, so when they saw him, so they would run away from him because he would give them too much money. Because the kol mai dahava gabe, whatever he had, yovlu, he would give to them. Now, one time it happened, yom echad, this Elazar Ish Bartusa have a solik l'shuka. He went out to the marketplace, l'mizvan nedunya livrate, to go and purchase the nedunya for his daughter. Now, the nedunya is the dowry. So it doesn't only mean money. We normally think of a nedunya as money. But here it's talking about, you know, buying the bedspreads, buying the linen, buying, you know, the basic essentials to set up a house. So he went out to the marketplace with a lot of money to buy the nedunya for his daughter. Now, chazyu gabay tztaka, and toshmei, the gabay tztaka saw him, and they quickly ran away from him, so he wouldn't give him all the money. However, Ozal, Elazar Ish Bartusa was not going to be missing out on the mitzvah of tztaka if he could help it. So Ozal, he runs, b'rod basray, and runs after them. Now, Amalu, he catches up to him. He says, "Ashbi asichu, b'may asikisu. I want you to swear to me that what you're collecting for, and I want you to swear basically because I'm afraid that you're not going to tell me the truth. You're going to say, oh, we're doing something this and that's not so important." No, he wanted to make sure 100% that he didn't miss out on doing this mitzvah tztaka. So he made them swear. So Amule, so they tell to him, yeah, okay, Taka, b'yosom v'yosoma, we're actually going to collect for a chasen and kala that have no money, a yosom and a yosoma, an orphan chasen, an orphan kala, they have no money, so we're collecting money to make the wedding. So, Rav Elazar Ish Bartusa says, wonderful, Amule, ha'avoda, I swear by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I swear by the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, she ain't called the Leviti, they have a higher priority than my own daughter. because he felt his own daughter he would be able to support, but nobody was going to support this Yosom and Yosoma, and therefore Shokal Kol Dahava Bahadei V'yav Luhu. He took every penny that he had and he gave it to them, to the Gabei Tzedakah collected for this Yosom and Yosoma. However, Parsh Le Chad Zuza, he left with himself just one zuz. Now, Zovan with his zuz, now the years we have his lay, but it should be bay, Zovan bay chiti. He purchased with it some wheat, small amount of wheat. Va'asik shadye ba'ach levo. And when he came home, he put it into his otzar. His ach levo is his granary. Now, he wasn't a poor person, this Eloza Ish Bar Susa, so he did have possessions and property, and the Mepharshim explained, this was his understanding, that he would be able to take care of his daughter anyway. And this is how many explained that he wasn't over the Takonas Usha that I had mentioned before. You're not allowed to give an excessive amount that's stuck and rely upon the people for support. If a person is very wealthy, so he's actually allowed to give more than the 10% or the 20% that was the normal standard of giving. So some of the Mepharshim explain it that way. Others explain, like I said before, that he was a Tana, and therefore he was before this Takonas Usha. And others explain that he relied upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu so totally, so he didn't feel he was giving away all of his money. It wasn't his money. He was basically saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, you're going to take care of me, just like I'm taking care of this Yosom and Yosoma. So he was allowed to do this. Whatever the reason was, he put this little bit of wheat in his storehouse, in his silo. Asoy Divisu, his wife came to him and didn't go to ask him, but she asked the daughter. So Amar lo Lerate, she said to the daughter, "Nu, what did your father bring home for your dowry? My Aisei Avuch, what did your father bring home?" So Amar lo. So the daughter said to the mother, "Koma da Aisei biachlova shadise." Whatever he brought home, he put it into the silo, into our storehouse. Asya lemiftach bavo the achlova. So she went to go check, and she wanted to open up the door of the storehouse. But chazes achlova, she saw that the storehouse was demaya chiti, was filled up with wheat. The little bit of wheat had miraculously been transformed into an entire storehouse of wheat. The Mepharshim was saying, this is midah keneged midah. Just like he gave away everything, so to HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him everything. So he was filled up with wheat, just like he gave away everything, so this entire storehouse was filled up with wheat. The Kornafka Bitsinora the Dasha, and the wheat was so packed in this storehouse that it was coming out through the wall, so to say. It was coming out Bitsinora the Dasha with the hinges of the door. The Lo Miftach Bava Michite, and it was so packed you couldn't even open up the door. Now, this, by the way, the Ben Yoda brings down, is the explanation for an interesting custom that they have in Baghdad. He was the Rav in Baghdad. They would have long candles, which they put wheat kernels in front of the kala. And he says that the gematria of chitin, of wheat, is 67, which is the same gematria as bino, wisdom. And women have a bino yesera. And it's this story over here that it's alluded to with the wheat. And anyway, that explains their custom. And there are also Ashkenazic customs that they throw wheat kernels, that they should be multiplying like the wheat kernels in front of the chasen and kala. In any event, Oslo Barate Levei Midrasha, so his daughter went to the base medrash and she told her father, Amalei, Borei, Ma Oslo Lecha Ohavecha. Look and see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for you. Dad, you had this little bit of wheat and now it's transformed into an entire silo worth of wheat. So Amalei, he said to her, Havoda, I swear, again, by the Beis HaMikdash, by the Havoda in the Beis HaMikdash, Harein Hektish Alayach. This is Hektish. Now, he didn't literally make it Hektish. Otherwise, nobody else would be able to use it except the Beis HaMikdash. But he said, V'ein loch bohen elo ki echad mi'ani Yisrael. I'm giving this away as a Hektish, as a donation to all the poor people. You alone shouldn't be the only one to be entitled for this miracle. It's a miracle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it. So all the poor people, including possibly you, and you shouldn't have any more of a share in it. Ein lod bahen elokiach abiyani yisro. You're entitled to it like any other poor person. However, no more so than all the other people. It's not yours. This is all of Klai Yisrael's. And the Mepharshim explained, this is why he did bedafka one chita. This is like the miracle that we have with Elisha, that he needed a little bit of oil, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu could make the miracle. Similarly, like on Hanukkah, which I'm in the middle of Hanukkah right now when I'm dictating this, so there needs to be a little bit of oil before you could have the miracle. Why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just say, here, magically, the menorah will light, even though there's no oil in it? No, that's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. You normally have a little bit of something, and then the brachim come on it. That's one of the reasons why Before we bench, we always have challah left on the table. We want the bracha, the benching that we're doing, that we now give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you should continue to be masbia us that you are hazones hakol. So therefore, you need to have some bread left on the table that the bracha could, so to say, take effect on. So that's why Bedavka, he left one chita, or a little bit of money, a zuz, to buy a little bit of chitin, to have a little bit of wheat, to have the miracle take effect on. Again, Elazar Ish Bar Birtor, Elazar Ish Bar Tusa, was a great, great person. Now we have some additional stories regarding fast. This Masechta deals a lot with Tanias and Masechta Tainis, and therefore now we'll have some stories of great Rabbanim, that there was a famine, a drought in the days, and what they did, and whether they were answered or not. Rav Yehuda Nasiya was the grandson of Rebbe, Rav Yehuda HaNasi. That's why he was referred to as Rav Yehuda Nasiya, to distinguish himself from his grandfather, the great Rav Yehuda HaNasi. In any event, in his day, there was a famine, and Gaza Tanisa, he declared that there should be a Tainis, and everybody went together, Boy Rachme, the old David. However, for the loss of Mitzvah, the rains didn't come. Amar, Rav Yehuda Nasiya said, Kam ha'ika, bishmul ha'ramasi, Yehuda ben Gamliel, oyvei, how much of a difference is between the leader of Klai Yisrael, the Shmuel Hanavi, Shmuel HaRamasi, who was able to go and daven for rain, and the rain came even when the time when it wasn't the rain supposed to come, to me, Yehuda, his father was Gamliel, his father was one of the Rabban Gamliels, we have many Rabban Gamliels, all from the same lineage coming from Hillel, and from the family of Yehuda HaNasi, from Rebbe's house, so Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, Rebbe, had a son, Rabban Gamliel, and this Rabban Gamliel had his son, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, and he's talking about himself. Look at the difference between Shmuel HaRamasi, who was the leader of Klai Yisrael, and Nebuch, poor me, Yehuda ben Gamliel, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. And he says, Oy lo ledor shekein niska, oy lo lemi shalso biyom of kach. He was saying and bemoaning to himself that, oh, woe is to the generation that has me as their leader, that they've been put into such a situation, shekein niska, that, so to say, they were put into this situation, oy to them, that also biyomav kach, that in my days such a thing has happened, and Nebuch, I'm not capable of bringing the rain. And Cholash Daite, he felt very, very terrible, and oh, the Osimitra, the humbleness that he felt at this point, right, a person says, oh, I'm the Nosi, I'm Yehuda Nasiya, and I'm going to die for rain, the rain's going to come, and that didn't happen, and therefore he felt very humbled by the fact that he couldn't bring about the rain, and then, oh, the Osimitra, Kosh Boch made the rains come. The Vein Nasiya goes at Tanisa, another time, the house of the Nasi, they declared there should be a Tainis, and Velo Odinu, but they didn't announce it to Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish didn't say in the Tfilas Mincha beforehand that they're accepting oneself as Tainis. Letzafer Odinu, only they all knew about it the next day. At Shachas, they said, remember, today is a fast day. And Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, they said, well, we didn't know about this. So only Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. So Reish Lakish tells to his Talmud Chavir Rebbe, Rav Yochanan, and he says to him, Ha lo kabinla alon meyurta. But we didn't say in Mincha yesterday, we didn't accept upon ourselves this Tainis. So is this a Tainis for us or not? Now, even though we may fast along with the other people, because it's not right that we should be sitting and eating and everybody else is fasting, but nobody really knew about this. So was there really a Tainis accepted by the Tzibor if in the Beit Nasiya, they announced it, but nobody knew about it. And we, even if everybody else accepted it, we didn't accept upon ourselves. So if we fast, do we get, quote, credit, so to say, for fasting, because we didn't accept upon it ourselves? So I'm listening. So Yochanan tells Reish Lakish, if the Beit Nasiya says something, Anan Basrayu Gerorinon, they have the authoritative situation, and if they declared that it was a Tainis, whether we knew about it or not, we're automatically included in their accepting of the Tainis, and therefore we should, in fact, fast in this situation. And therefore, it is a Tainis Tzibor that was accepted by the Tzibor, and we, quote, get credit for it, and it will be effective for doing so, because it's as if we accepted the Tainis ourselves. Another time, the Bein Nasiya goes at Tainisa, and again, the Bein Nasiya, in the house of the Nasi, they were goes with a Tainis, but nevertheless, below also mentioned, the rains didn't come, even though they all fasted. Tanilu Oshaya Zeira, the Mincha Raya, Oshaya Zeira, who was one of the Bnei Yeshiva, that's what Rashi says elsewhere, in a number of different places, you see on the side in the Masoras HaShas. So the Bnei Yeshiva, he was one of them, and he was the younger Oshaya, as opposed to the older Rav Oshaya, who was more famous. So this younger Oshaya said in a way that was disparaging about the Bnei Nasiya, and he said the following brisa, and he said, Tanulu Oshaya Zira Dimin Chavraya, the following pasuk in the brisa, Vayo im me'enei ha'eda nasasol lishkaga. If it should happen that something was not visible, it was hidden from the Tzibor, and they ended up making a mistake. So this refers to the din by the Sanhedrin, if they made a mistake. So Moshe lekala. He says this is analogous to the example of a kala, she's in her father's house. So calls mine Shenel Yopos, if she's a beautiful young lady and has beautiful eyes, and call gufa tzrichabadigri. You don't have to check out the rest of her body. If the eyes are beautiful, so then mistama, the rest of the body is beautiful as well. There's a beautiful explanation of Leah, which says Einel Rakos, which most interpret in a negative way, so some interpret in a positive way, Einel Rakos, that she was so beautiful, her eyes were so beautiful, Rach means soft and beautiful, you didn't have to check out the rest of her, that you didn't have to tell her that she was Yishor Yifas Mareh, that she was a beautiful lady, as opposed to, by Rachel, had to say that now that she was a beautiful lady. In any event, we see over here that the Braisa tells us if the eyes, which represent the leaders, if they're beautiful, then you don't have to worry about the tzibur, even if the tzibur is not so good. Ein tzrichim b'diko, you don't have to check them out. However, einel trutos, if the eyes are not so beautiful, then kol gufa tzrichim b'diko, then the people are going to suffer. Then you have to go and check out the entire tzibur. And if Rachmana l'san the Raveiros, then there's going to be a famine. So this person, Oshaya Zira, was saying, it's the Bei Nesiyah's fault that there's no rain. It's not our fault. Now, the Bei Nesiyah, we're not happy with this. Also, Avodei Beromulei Sudro B'Tzavari. So, the servants of the Bei Nesiyah, they took a kerchief, and they basically tied it around his neck, and were going to strangle him. They come and Tzavali, and they gave him a hard time. They hurt him. So, Amru, now the Yisra we have is Lei, but it's Amru Luhu, B'nei Mosse, so all the people came to help out Oshaya Zira. They didn't want this thuggery to occur in their presence. And they said, Shavke, they said to the servants of the Bei Nesiyah, leave him alone. Doha Nami Mitzalon. He always gives us all a hard time. He's a big Baal Musar. He's always telling us that we're doing wrong, and this is his way. He's a tzaddik. He's not doing this because he's a bad person. He's doing this to give us Musar. And Kivan the Chazinon, the Kol Mile L'Shum Shemayim, he does this. Everything he does is done l'shem shemayim. So when he gives us a hard time, he gives himself a hard time, he gives everybody a hard time to be better Jews. And therefore, leave him alone. This is his nature, to try to give musa to everybody. So therefore, that everything that he does is l'shem shemayim, so we don't say anything to him when he gives us a hard time. We accept what he says. So to you, Atunami, you guys also, he's saying the truth. If the Bei Nesiyah would be better, so then we all would have had rain. So therefore, Shavku, leave him alone. Another story, Rebbe Gozer Tanis, so the great Rebbe, Yehuda Nasi, was Gozer Tanis, lost a mitzvah, and the rains nevertheless didn't come. The Nochis Kamei Ilfa, who we had the other day with Ilfa and Rebbe Yochanan, came before him to be the Shliach Tzibur. Amalei, Rabbi Ilfei. Others say it was a different person, Rabbi Ilfei. Anyway, whoever it was, started to daven the Shemoneh Esrei, and on my Mashav Ruach, as soon as he started to say Mashav Ruach, so we have the gifts of the Nosso, but it should be the Noshav Zikr, the winds came, and then as soon as he said Morad HaGashem, or Morad HaGashem, so then, well, also Mitra, the rains actually came. So Rebbe was very impressed with this Ilfo or Rebbe Ilfai. And Amalei, my Avdach, what do you do that you're answered almost immediately? We would go to the Tainus and nothing happened. The minute you get up there and down the Shemoneh Esrei, boom, the rains come. So Amalei, so Ilfo or Rebbe Ilfai said, Dayerna Bekusta Dechika. I live in a very, very poor little town. Bekusta is like a little village. She says, Bekvar Dachuk, a very poor, impoverished village. Sheesh bo Anios Biosa, has more than enough Aniyim, has many, many excessive amount of Aniyim. And they can't afford wine for Kiddush Avdala. The less Bechamra, Likidusha, Viavdalta. So what do? Tarchana, I trouble myself, Yosina Chamra, Likidusha, Viavdalta, Umefikna Luhu, Yedei Chovasayu. I go and bring wine for Kiddush and wine for Avdala for them, and I am making them be Yotze, their Chiev, to make Kiddush and Avdala. They don't have enough money to do so, so I take it upon myself to go and do this. Next story. Now, the Gersa we have is Rav. The Rinu Chananel has the Gersa Rava. Whoever it was, Rav, Ikla, Lahau, Asra. Once Rav came to a place, and they didn't have any rain, so Gozer Tanisa. So he was Gozer Tanisa on the town. Everybody came. However, Velo Asa Mitra. And no rain came. So he sent up to be the Shliach Tzibur, to Davin, the Anei Nutvila. Nochiz Kamei, Shlicha Dutzibura. And this Shliach Tzibur, just like in the previous case, who the Shliach Tzibur started to daven, Amar Mashav Ruach, V'noshav Zika, Amar Morid HaGoshem, V'yosav Mitra. As soon as he started saying, Mashav Ruach, Morid HaGoshem, the winds came and the rains came. Oh, a great tzaddik. So therefore, Amar Lei, Rav says him, my old dog, nu, what do you do? That you're answered right away. So Amar Lei said to him, listen, Mikre Dardike Ano, I'm a Rebbe for young children. Now, normally, you charge tuition. In those days, they didn't have yeshivas. You'd hire a private rebbe, so to say, to teach children. So the rich people could afford a person, and the poor people couldn't. That's why they introduced, Rav Yehuda ben Bava introduced the yeshiva system in order to make sure that all of the children would be able to learn, even the poor children. But I go and teach the poor children as well as I do the rich children. No, the poor children can't pay. The rich children pay. Anybody that can't afford the tuition, lo shekel them in immediate. I don't take anything from them. I don't force them to go and go and hack in order to go pay for me to teach their children. No, the islay pera de cabre, I also have a fish pond. Pera de cabre, cabre of fish, and pera de cabre means a pond that grows fish. I raise fish. In other words, that's his parnasa. The whole man de posha, and if somebody, a child, doesn't learn, he's posha, he says, I'm not learning, so I bribe him. Mishachadina, shochad is a bribe. Mishachadina, let me know. I say, hey, you want some sushi? You want some nice fish? So, just like today, you get people to come to a shiur by bringing them sushi or other delicacies. You have a kiddush, you have a little reception, so people come to a shiur. So you would do the same things with the kids. Say, I'll give you some sushi if you come to the shiur. Mishadrina lay. If I see no lay, and therefore I go give him the fish, I get ready the fish for him, masadrit, I set it up. If I see no lay, and I get him excited, I make him want to come to the shir, and therefore ad asiv kari until he comes to the shir because I'm giving him the sushi. So that's the great suchus that this person who was the shliach tzibur in front of Rav or Rava had, and that's why the rains came because of him. Next story, Rav Nachman goes to Tanis. So one time Rav Nachman was goes to Tanis, and again Nebuch boy Rachman, they all daven the low asiv mitzvah, the rains didn't come. Omar, so Rav Nachman said, Shaklu al Nachman, HaKosh Baruch Hu, take Nachman, Chavoto min Guda liyara, take him down from his high position, and throw him to the ground. In other words, he's on top of the wall, the Guda's a wall, I'm the head of the tzibur, but nothing's happening, so I deserve to be deposed. And he felt terrible, Cholash Daiti, and again, because of his feeling terrible, he really felt the tzar, that he wasn't able to go and help Klai Yisrael. Also, HaKosh Baruch Hu, may the rains come. Another Maisa Rabba Gozer Tanisa Rabba once declared a fast, and then the old Davin boy Rachmi will lose a mitra. And he davened, but the rains didn't come. Amule, so the people said to him, "Aye, how come when you go and daven, nothing happens? But when Rav Yehuda, the previous generation, he davened, oh Rav Yehuda, Kiyava Gozer Tanisa, also mitra. As soon as he was Gozer Tanis, the rains came. So what's the difference between you and Rav Yehuda? How come Rav Yehuda's answered and you're not?" So Amalahu, my Avi said to them, "No, what can I do? I can't help it. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's doing. If you're telling me that he's more learned than I am, that's simply not true. Anan Adifino Aminayu, our generation is actually on a higher madrega learning than the previous generation of Rabbi Yehuda. Why is that? The Bishnei, the Rabbi Yehuda, during the time of Rabbi Yehuda in the previous generation, called Tanuyi, all of their learning was isolated to a single Masech. When we turn to Chavdal Rami Beis, they learned Benizikin. The Nezikin Haba. They were learning Nezikin. And Nezikin could be the entire Seder Nezikin. Some suggest that the Bavas, Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, and Bava Basra was actually originally one Masechta. It would have been a very, very long Masechta. Bava Kama is a long Masechta. Bava Metzia is a long Masechta. And Bava Basra is the longest Masechta, at least in terms of Dathim. And therefore, this was originally one Masechta called Masechta Nezikin. And they subsequently broke it up into the first part, the second part, and the last part, the middle part, and the last part. Anyway, that some say what they're referring to, that they only learned the Bavas, they only learned the Nezikin. Others say, no, they learned the whole Seder of Nezikin, but it was only 1/6 of Shas at the most. Banan, but Rabbi says, in my generation nowadays, Komas Ninon B'Shisa Sidrin. We learn all Shisha Sidrin Mishnah, and the Gemara is associated with them. And to prove my point, when Yehuda reached the last Masechta Shas, Masechta Uchtzin, which, by the way, it's a wonderful time to put in a plug for the Mishnah Yomis, which is today starting, at least when I'm giving the shiur, is today starting Yodayim, which is the penultimate Masechta, and then we'll be going on to Uchtzin, which is the very last Masechta in all of the Mishnayis, and we'll be starting again the new cycle of Mishnah Yomis, which is a wonderful way to review those that do the Daf Yomi, a wonderful way to review all the words in the Daf Yomi, as well as all the Masechtas that we don't do in the Daf Yomi because they don't have Gemara associated with them. In any event, when Rav Yehuda reached to the very end of the Mishnayis in Uchtzin, he wasn't really familiar with that subject as well. Ha'isha shekoveshes yerek b'kdeira. When he got to the point where a woman goes and is kovashes, she goes and preserves the vegetables in a pot. So are the vegetables that she's using, there a handle over here for the rest of the vegetables? Or the Seidlami law Zaysim, Shekavoshim, Betarfeim, Tahorin. Or he learned there was a different discussion that using the olives, and they were being also preserved. And when he held on to the leaves, are they considered a handle for the rest, so tahorin, and they learned that these are tahorin in this situation. They're not considered able to be metame based upon the dinim of uksin, which we're not going to go into right now. So Amar, he said, oh, this is a very difficult sugya. Havayos, the Rav Shmuel, kochazino hachai. See all the questions that Rav and Shmuel have over here, and we need really further analysis for us to go and understand this, because these are very difficult sugyas. And yet, that was Rav Yehuda. Rabba says, but when we learn this, we have 13 Bate Medrash. Anan, when we learn this, Komasinim Be'uktzin, Tleisa Misifta. We have 13 Bate Medrash that delve into the details of Uktzin. So it can't be because they were more learned than us. What can I do? We're more learned than them. Vilu Rav Yehuda. And yet, nevertheless, when he kava hashalav chad misano, when he would take off even one shoe of his foot to symbolize that he was in tzar and was asking Kodesh Baruch Hu to help them out, also mitri, the rains would come. Banan kotzav chinan kuliyoma, we could cry out all day in tefila, but like could the ashkach one, and Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't answer us. Now, I can't help that. We're more learned than them. Imishum Ovda is because of acts of chesed, of doing various types of avoda. So ikud the chazi midi leimi. If you're telling me that there's something that we're not doing right, so then speak up. What can the dole ador? Shein doran dome yofe. It's not us. We're on the same level as Rav Yehuda, if not greater. It's the people. And you don't deserve to have the rains come. And that's why the rains aren't coming. Now, when Rav Yehuda had davened, he said he just took off his shoe and the rains came. What was that story? Rav Yehuda chazahanu beitrei. When Rav Yehuda saw that there were two people, the havuka partzei berifta, who were playing around with their bread, they were tossing it one to the other. Now, you're not allowed to do that. That's a bizoyim for bread. You technically can throw other fruit. For example, you throw an apple from one person to another, so the apple won't get damaged by throwing it. Technically, you're allowed to throw an apple, but bread, we don't throw. Else the great covenant we're supposed to have for bread, even if it won't ruin it, you're not supposed to play with your bread. So Omar, he said, Shmamina ika sova biyama. He said, wow, these two people are just throwing around bread like there's no tomorrow, that there's plenty of bread. And he said, must be too much bread in the world. And Yohav Eine, he put his eyes to it, and have a kavna. And therefore, because of his being upset that the people weren't treating the bread properly, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a famine come. He wasn't happy about that. Amalei Rabbanu Rav Kahana, Breder of Nechunya, Shamei. So the rabbis went to Rav Kahana, who was the son of Rav Nechunya, who was the shamish of Rabbi Yehuda, and said to him, Mar, the Shriach Kameh, you, Rav Kahana, you are the regular shamish by Rabbi Yehuda, go and tell him that there's a famine out there. He didn't realize it. The Asiye, the Leibok, the Pischa, the Somut Lushuka, let him, when you take him outside, make sure you go by the marketplace and he'll see how Nebuch difficult the situation is and that there's a famine and he'll daven for it. So that's what he did. Asiye, he took out Rav Yehuda, this Shamish, Rav Kahana, who's the son of Rav Nechunya, took out Rav Yehuda via the marketplace. Asiye, Venofa Lushuka, went out by the marketplace and caused a Kinufya. He saw a whole bunch of people gathering around the empty stalls of the market, that there were no vegetables, there were no fruits, there was nothing there. But he saw a big crowd there as if they were waiting for something. So I'm a little, my high, he says, what's going on? He said to his shamish, Misama, he said to the attendants that were with him. He didn't go out alone, he was the great Rav Yehuda. So he said to him, what's going on? So I'm really, they told him, Akuspo de Tamre, there's going to be a basket of dates coming that's going to be here. The kom is not in, it's going to be sold. So everybody's lining up to be able to buy a date or two. Oh, Rav Yehuda said, Shmami, no, I see from here, Kafno Biyama, that there's a huge famine in the world. So Amale the Shami told his Shamish Mistam, he told this Rav Kahana, who was Berei the Rav Nechunya, and he said to him, Shlofli Misanoi, help me take off my shoes. And Shlofli Chad Misanoi, as soon as he took off one shoe, also Mitra, the rains came, and the famine was over. He said, ooh, if taking off one shoe brought a certain amount of rain, let me take off my other shoe as well and bring even more rain and be even more bounty in the world. So also Eliyahu HaNavi comes to him. That's how great Rabbi Yehuda was. And he said to him, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ishofos Achrina, if you take off your other shoe, not going to be good. Machrivna li'alma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want this to happen right now, and therefore, if you take off the other shoe, it's going to be a destruction for the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will destroy the world, so to say, don't take off your other shoe. There will be enough rain, but not bringing a tremendous bounty of rain at this point in time. Again, the Ben Yoyada in the Sefer Ben Yo said this was actually a praise for Yehuda. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I don't even want you to take off your other shoe, it's not necessary. There's enough food for right now, but I don't want to trouble you to go take off your other shoe. Okay. Rav Mari, Baras de Rav Shmuel, the Bas Shmuel, Rav Mari, who was the grandson of Shmuel through his daughter. Shmuel had a daughter that was Nebuch assaulted by Isser Giura, who ultimately became a convert, but we don't want to mention his name. That's why Rav Mari, that's the Jewish name Mari, comes from Shmuel's lineage, but through the daughter of Shmuel, we don't mention his father. Anyway, Rav Mari said, "Ana havi ka'imna aguda de Nahar Papa. I was once on the riverbank of the Nahar Papa, and Chazoy lemalochi, he was obviously a great person. He saw angels, the damu lemalochi, that appeared to be like sailors. Malochi are sailors. The komaise chola, that they would bring sand, chola sand, umlanua laarbe, and they would place it in the boats, vahavikimcha de smida. And Akosh Baruch made a miracle, and that sand turned into flour, very finely sifted flour. Asu kulu amu lemizar. Oh, now this famine seemed to be over. The boat came in with a tremendous amount of wheat on it, of flour on it. They would, Baruch Hashem, have food to buy. But, Amaluhu, Rav Mari said, that's why the Bach changes the gears here, Amino Luhu, I said to them, others had the gears that we have, and that it was talking about Rav Yehuda. In any event, whoever it was that said, Mehalo Tiz Binun, don't buy from this boat, because the Maise Nisimu, this is miraculous food, and you shouldn't be getting Hanoah from Maise Nisim. Wait till the regular food comes. The regular food's going to come, and that's what happened, Lamocha, the next day, Ashen arbe dechite de Parzina. Boats came from a place called Parzina, filled up with wheat. The famine indeed was over, and that is what you should eat, and not use Maisei Nisim. Next story, Rava Ikla laHagrunya. Rava came to a city called Hagrunya. Gozer Tanitsa, and he was Gozer Tainis on those people, because there were no rains. Nevertheless, for Loa Simitri, even though there was a Tainis, the rains didn't come. Amalu said to the people, Bisu, stay overnight. Kuliyama b'sani seichu, in your fasting. In other words, don't break your fast. We're going to continue fasting until the next day. L'machar, Amalu, the next day says to them, Miko d'chozu chilma lema. If anybody had a dream overnight while they were fasting, so let us know what that dream is. Maybe it will pretend to us something for the future. So Amalu, Rabbi Loza mi'agrunya, so Rabbi Loza, who came from Agrunya, that's the city that Rabbi went to, so he said, I had a dream. L'didi, akirian b'chalmi, I saw in my dream, Shalom tav l'rav, Tav me ribon tav. I saw in my dream the following. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu was calling out Shalom to the good teacher from the good master. De me tuve me tiv liame. And from this great master, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there will be goodness spread out to the entire people. Oh, that was a very positive dream. Rava said, Omar, Shemami no. We see from here, Es Ratzon hi, mi boy rachmi. This is a very good time, an opportune time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, is sending us a message to go and daven. So let's all daven. Boy rachmi, they davened for Osi Mitra, and the rains did come. How Gabra, the Ischayev, Nagda, Bevedino de Rava, another Maisa. There once was a person who was Chayev Malkis in the Beis Din of Rava. He did something wrong. He was Chayev Malkus. What did he do wrong? Mishum debal kusis. He had relations with a kusis, a woman who he wasn't allowed to have relations with. So therefore, Nagde Rava, Rava gave him Malkus, but they miscalculated, and they gave him too much Malkus, umis, and they killed him. In any event, Ishtama Milsa Beishvur Malka. This was coming to the attention of the king, the local king, Shvur Malka, who basically had not given permission to Rava to go and execute somebody. And therefore, Rabbeinu Chananel says that Hilshinu Olav, that they tattled on Rava and said Shehem Yisadim, that he was taking capital crimes into his own hands and they didn't have the right to do so. So Shvur Malka was very, very unhappy. Now Shvur Malka, we find him mentioned a number of times, and his mother, Ifra Hurmiz. So these are people that have several times mentioned in Shas in somewhat of a positive way, albeit not always that they were perfectly good. But in any event, they're mentioned in a very positive way here. Boil at Sayuri L'Rava. So Shvur Malka initially wanted to go and punish Rava. However, his mother said to him, Amulei Ifra Hurmiz Ime, his mother, Ifra Hurmiz, that was her name, and her name, the Tosfos brings down in Bava Basra, is a Lashon of Ifra, means a Lashon of Chayin, that she had Chayin from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In any event, this mother, Ifra Hurmiz, said to her son, Shvur Malka, Ime, the Shvur Malka said to Livra, to her son, Lo Lehevei Lech Esek, Dvarim Bahadei Yudor, have nothing to do with the Jews, you're only going to get into trouble with them if you go start up with them. The Choman de Boyin Mimarayu Yavluhu, because whatever they ask of their master, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he grants to them. So if you start up with them, they're going to daven that you should be destroyed, and you'll be destroyed. So therefore, don't start up with them. If you want to have good relations with them, Gizun to hate, but don't start up with them. Amalah Mahi said, "Why? What do you mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them, whatever they want, that I shouldn't start up with them, because she said, if they ask for bayin rachme, if they ask for mercy, in other words, that a Kodesh Baruch should go and bring rains if there's no rains, but osi mitra, and the rains come, so you see that they, a Kodesh Baruch does whatever they want. So Amalah, so her son says to her, maybe it's not because they davened, maybe because it was the rainy season. How mishum dezimna demitro? And they're coincidentally davening, and the next day it rains. They had a good meteorologist on their staff, and the meteorologist says, tomorrow it's going to rain. So daven today, so it looks like your tefillos are being answered. Oh, you know what would be a kunz? You know what would be special? Elibo rachme ha'idna b'tkufas tamas. Let him go pray for rain right now. It was the summer months in tkufas tamas when it doesn't rain in Eretz Yisrael. Let them go and daven for rain now, and we'll see. Oh, if they can ask for rain in the non-rainy season and the rains come, I'll know that what you're saying is true. Nope, let's see if that happens. B'leisei mitra, let's see if the rains come now. So that's what happened. Shoch leil rava. So the mother of Shulmalka, if for Hormuz, sent to Rava, because she liked Rava, they apparently had dealings in the past, and she sent them the following message. Kaveh daitra, go and think about it, and daven, uboi rachmi, the leisei mitra, that the rain should come now, in Tkufas Tamas. So Rava did, boy rachmi, Rava daven for the rains, the lo asei mitra, but the rains didn't come. Amar lefano, Rava said to Ribbono Shalom, he said to God, and he recites the following pasuk from Tillim. Elokim biyozneinu shamanu. With our own ears, we have heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avu Seinu Sipru Lanu, as well as our tradition, our Mesorias, our fathers have taught us. Po'al, po'alto b'mehem b'mekedem, that you used to do things for us years ago. V'anu b'eneinu l'arinam, but we haven't seen those miracles that you did years ago. So please, bring the rain now and show us that you make miracles just like you did in the days beyond, before. So awesome, Mitra, the rains came. So much rain, ad shofuch marzevei de tzipore lediglas, until the gutters of the houses of Tzipore, it reached, the waters reached from there all the way to the diglas, to the Tigris River, which again was far away. So again, tremendous amount of rain came. And in fact, Shulmalko was now believing that Jewish people have tremendous koyach hatfila and didn't start up with the Jewish people. Now, Rava's own father was not happy about this. Asa avua is chazile b'chalma. Now, Rava's father appeared to him in a dream. Mustama, Rava's father was no longer in this world. He was nifter, and he came to him in a dream, and he said, "Yamale, miko demitrach kamei shmaya kolihai. Why did you do this? You bothered them in Shemayim to bring rain in the non-rainy season. That's a little bit of a chutzpah on your part to go and do this. Miko demitrach. Who are you that you should trouble HaKadosh Baruch Hu? They're going to be angry in Shemayim about this." And Amale, so the father said to him, to make sure that the Shadim don't take action against you, shane duchtik. Go sleep tonight in a different place, because the Shadim are going to come to your regular place and they're going to, Rahman al-Islam, harm you. So go sleep in a different place. So Rava dutifully listened to his father, Shani Duchte. He didn't sleep in the same place that he normally slept in. And Lamacha, the next morning, he gets up to see what happened to that place. Ashke de Mirsham Purye, his regular bed where he normally would have slept in, was filled with sakine, was filled with knife marks. It was stabbed. The bed was stabbed multiple times. Okay, so Rava again was saved through this miraculous intervention through his father, and again, you can get an idea who Rava was, that he was able to be davening for such rain in the non-rainy season. Rapapa, another story, Goza Tanisa, he once was Gozer Tanis because there was no rain, and the rains didn't come, so he felt very upset. Cholash Libe, Sraf Pinka de Daisa, so he ate, the fast hadn't done anything, so he ate, he was hungry. Ubay Rachme, and he continued to daven, still below Asimitra, and still the rains didn't come. So that's what Rav Papa did, and it wasn't successful. Amar le Rav Nachman bar Ushpasti. So Rav Nachman bar Ushpasti, so to say, mocked him and made a little bit of fun of him. And he said to him, Esarif mar pincha achriti. Maybe if you go eat another bowl of porridge, the daisa, asi mitra, then if you eat another bowl of this porridge, so then maybe the rains will come. In other words, he was mocking him. He said, the rains didn't come, and you ate. You should have kept on fasting. No. Rav Papa felt very embarrassed. Irsif, he was very humiliated. He felt terrible, and therefore now he was humbled again, but also after the rains came. Now we're going to stop over here, because we're entering into a whole bunch of stories about the great, great Tana Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, the Baal Mofes par excellence, and I'd just like to do all of his stories together, so we'll stop a little bit early today, although we're getting already gone quite far in terms of time. Yitz Hashem will continue with the beautiful stories in Masechta Tainis tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's shiur.